There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal.
Welcome to No Mere Mortals Cover to Cover Series. The Cover to Cover Series is a chronological journey through the moments in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, centered on the main character of Jesus Christ. In 2020, the Lord directed the start of the Cover to Cover Series that originally began as weekly installments for Sunday morning youth teachings at a local church. In 2023, the Cover to Cover Series will move to being a podcast series, and Lord willing, will continue to be weekly installments.
To Genesis chapter 40. We're going to see if we can get through 40 through a bit of 41 today. So again, as you guys are opening up there to Genesis chapter 40, just a few, again, reminders that we have our 5:30 service out at River Oak Grace. Only about four more weeks, because in about 4 weeks, November 1st, we'll be opening up and we'll resume services as we were before with a 9 and 11 o'clock service. There's some changes with those things going to be coming. And so just wanted you guys to, again, be aware that in 4 weeks. But should rain come, should the weather not allow us to be able to meet outside, then we will hold to God's word to not forgo the gathering of the saints. And we will meet indoors as God has called us to do. But as of for now, we have this opportunity to come meet outside, enjoy this just amazing atmosphere that God has provided for us, and just thank him for that. So also, again, after that service this evening, you can come right back over here. We're going to be having our youth fellowship night. We're going to be just enjoying some time of food and hanging out. And then a little bit later, we'll kick off the movie of I Still Believe this evening. So with that, hopefully you guys are there with me to Genesis chapter 40. And it reads in Genesis chapter 41, verse 16. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time again this morning. And Lord, just for the opportunity that we've been able to be in this time together. And God, we may not always appreciate it. We may not always understand. But Lord, we are appreciative that you are always with us. And God, will we not take for granted the lessons that you have for us during this season? And Lord, that we would look to what it is that you would have us to learn from everything that we're going through. So Father, thank you for everything that you've done, everything you have planned. We just pray that right now this evening, or this morning, and God, that you would just reveal yourself to us through your spirit, by your word, in your son's name, amen. Now, as we've been making our way through, looking specifically at Genesis these last few weeks, kind of around the life of Joseph, one of the 12 sons of Israel. And we saw about how when Joseph was a young man, that his brothers, out of envy and jealousy and hatred for the message that God had delivered to them through Joseph, that they threw him into a pit and planned his murder as they sat by and had lunch. Then his brother Judah comes up with a plan to sell him into slavery. Then while he's a slave in his master's home, he comes to love and respect his master and is made second in his master's house, Potiphar. And his master's wife begins to take notice of him. This young man, who she desired and saw that he was a good man. And she sought to have this affair with Joseph. And Joseph, despite his unfair circumstances, despite the oppression he had been going through, despite his body's urges, overcomes all of that for a love of his master, loving his master more than himself, and choosing to obey God rather than justify sin to appease his understood desires. We see that Joseph would not only reject that, but then he would actually stay away. He would not make for any provision of the flesh and would distance himself, but then is literally grabbed by the collar of Potiphar's wife. And in that moment, he runs away, leaving his cloak behind. And after all of this, he's accused of rape or attempt of rape and is thrown in prison by that very same master who he loved. And with that, we come to Genesis chapter 40, where it says, "And it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt." Now, these two men, this butler and baker, they're really responsible for the drink and food that Pharaoh is going to be consuming. They're sort of like the safety checkers. They're the ones to make sure that, as there would have maybe been plots to try and take the Pharaoh out, that whatever food came his way hadn't been in any way poisoned or tampered with. And so at this moment, you kind of see that Pharaoh's kind of been told, or he's thinking that there's some sort of plot going on that these men are either a part of, or they're just not doing their job well. And so it says there in verse 2 that Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. Remember, that was Potiphar's title, the captain of the guard. In the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. So it seems as though Potiphar, Mr. Secret Service, his job again was to take out the enemies of Pharaoh. And it seems that he almost even has like his own jail specifically for those who would attempt to take out the Pharaoh or would be great offenders to Pharaoh. And so then it says, the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them and he served them, so they were in custody for a while. So again, if this is the same captain of the guard, Potiphar, I tend to lean that way, is that what we see is, again, that though his wife accused Joseph of attempted rape, we see that maybe Potiphar didn't actually really believe his wife, but was frustrated with the situation, and seeing how much God had blessed him through Joseph takes him from being a servant in his home to a servant at his workplace. And so he throws him in prison, but then begins to put him in charge and over the people in the prison itself. It says, and the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream. Both of them, each man's dream in one night, each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of the Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? And I don't want to just pass over this, because after everything Joseph has gone through, and put in prison, that many at this point say it's likely he's been in prison for about 11 years for something he didn't do, unjustly imprisoned. After everything else with his brothers and you know, the murder and selling into slavery, we see here that Joseph actually cares for these young men. He sees them, and after everything he's gone through, he hasn't allowed it to harden his heart or for himself to become self-focused. Matthew chapter 20, verse 27, 28 says, whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Verse 8 says that they said to him, we each have had a dream, and there's no interpretation of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to the Lord? Tell them to me, please. So not only is Joseph not allowing himself to become selfish, self-focused, and all the wrong that's been done to him, but he's actually still God-focused. That Joseph still trusts God and praises God even through all the junk that's been coming his way. You know, Hebrews says in chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And actually, the process and the solution are very much tied right into, as Isaiah 26, 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. So someone might ask, how was Joseph able to still trust God and praise God and have just this heart of understanding and peace in a situation like this? It's just that his heart was and mind was focused on God. You know, here, I wonder if he's recalling even his own dreams that he had, as they bring up dreams. Knowing that he had these dreams and seeing even his father, you know, Israel, commenting and giving an interpretation of those dreams, knowing that these things come from God and belong to God. What I also again see in this is that this is a situation where he not only sees that they're in a need. He could have passed these guys over. I mean, here he is again, all of his history, wrongfully imprisoned, And he sees these two guys who were bombed, and he's like, hey, guys, what's going on? I mean, I know you're in prison, but you look really bad today. Is something going on? And they say, yeah, we had some bad dreams. You could almost see Joseph roll his eyes. I'm so sorry for you. Has it been rough that your dream kept you up at night? But he doesn't do that. He doesn't dismiss their pain. He knows how to empathize with it, something that many of us can struggle with at times. And it's not because he needs to understand that they feel a certain way because of their situation, but he knows the feeling. Even if it's from a different place, even if it's from a different situation or circumstance, he doesn't discount their feeling, but in fact, he's able to fully empathize with it and then points them to the answer that's carried him through the whole way. Let's take this to God. It says, and the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. It blossomed, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to the place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. Now this interpretation, I mean, some things about this was quick. Joseph hears it, and he doesn't go and deliberate. He hears the dream, and the interpretation is quick, and then it's bold. He doesn't say 3 years from now, in an unknown time. He says quickly, in 3 days, this is what's going to happen. Think about how bold that is. This is going to be easily tested in just 3 days. And then he says, but remember me when it is well with you. And please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. Again, Joseph has kept his focus on God and he trusts God. And he still believes that God has provided him this opportunity to meet this butler. And he's right. I mean, imagine as he hears this dream, knowing it's from God and hearing that he's going to be restored to a prominence and have a potential ear into a voice into Pharaoh's ear. And realizing that, he sees this opportunity and says, look, tell Pharaoh about me. Now, many of us, you know, we have situations where we say, well, I'm waiting to see from God. I want to hear what God has to say. I'm waiting for God to show me what to do. And that's an everyday thing. Yet this morning, maybe some of you who are watching online are still in bed, but you're not just, when you get up and get ready for the day, you don't just lay in bed, lay there and expect your clothes to flutter out of your closet and just start, you know, wrapping around you like it's some Disney movie. You're not singing for little birds to clothe you. No, you get up, you put your clothes on, and you get ready. Same thing with getting your food for the day. You could say, well, I'm trusting God for my clothes. I'm trusting God for my food. Okay, but you still take the responsibility to put the clothes on. You don't sit down at the table, open your mouth, and expect the cereal to just fly in or even, you know, that the bread's just going to manifest itself. You prepare. You get that food and you take care of these things. And here's Joseph. He's been trusting in God. He's been focusing on God. And when an opportunity arose, he didn't just sit there and go, oh, I'll just be silent. I'll let God, if God wants it. So he sees the opportunity, and knowing that God has provided this opportunity, he takes that step and says, hey, don't forget me. And when you get next back to Pharaoh in 3 days, this is how sure he is of his own interpretation. It says, when you are there, tell Pharaoh about me. And this kind of reminds me again of a scenario or not a scenario, but an illustration that many have used. It speaks of a town that was flooded. And there was a man who was at his door and the water was rising and rising. And a guy in a big old lifted truck comes driving up and says, hey, we're getting everyone to safety. Hop in. And the guy at the door says, oh, no. God will get me out of this. I'm trusting in God. As the water rises higher and higher, the guy moves up to his second story, and he's sitting at the window, and now it's so high that there's boats that are driving around. The boat pulls up to the house and says, hey, get on in. We're getting people out of safety. Oh, no. I'm trusting in God. God's going to get me out of this. And boat goes on. Then the guy, the water continues to rise. He gets on top of his house, and now there's the Coast Guards, or they've got the helicopters out, and they're throwing the ladder down, said, hey, hop in. You know, you're going to get taken out. We're getting everyone to safety. No, I'm trusting in God. He's going to get me out of this. Well, the helicopter flies off, and the guy drowns. And he's standing before God and he says, I don't get this. I trusted in you. And you said I could trust you. And throughout all that time, I was trusting you. And you didn't help me. And God goes, I sent you a truck. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. What else did you want? And so many of us, we're in these situations where we're saying we're putting our faith in God. And then yet, as God is clearly providing opportunities for us to take responsibility, because he's not going to headlock us in and say, well, if you want to be saved, I'll just drag you kicking and screaming. But he provided those. And just like this moment, Joseph saw the opportunity and he jumped. Verse 15 says, for indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews. And also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. He's right. Joseph did nothing wrong to end up in prison. So why? Why did God allow any of this to happen to him? I've said many times, and I hope you guys consistently remember this, the greatest commentary on scripture is scripture. And to ask this question is why, okay, as he says, I've done nothing wrong to be put in this dungeon. The natural question is, well, then God, why did you allow that? In Psalm 105, verse 17 to 19, speaking of Joseph, it says, he of God sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave, that they hurt his feet with fetters, and he was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Wait, why was he put in chains? Because it says until the time of God's word was ready to do what he had planned. It says that the very word of the Lord tested Joseph. It tried him. Refined him. This word that we're told of in John chapter 1, verse 1 and 14, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Why? Because God says, I'm going to refine you. I'm going to shape you. I'm going to mold you because I have a purpose for you. You know, I've for many years of my life been fascinated with Japanese culture. I got shown a Japanese word today that really applies to my life. And one of the things that's just a fascinating thing to watch and see is if you've ever seen these Japanese sword makers when they're renowned for this, and today it's just this, when they're making this katana, when they're making this sword, is the painstaking process of how many times they'll fold that metal and the intense heat they use and just the process of refining it over and over, making it to just this razor sharp edge to be this effective tool. And that it's a process and that refinement that makes it the best that it can be, something that to this day has an iconic just image about it, to know that that is an effective tool. And some might even think about that and find themselves, you know, hearing that phrase, tool, and somehow diminish the value of it. And yet I would propose to you that if I was to show you a pawn from a chessboard, you would say, okay, big deal. In fact, it's the lowest of all the pieces. It's just a pawn. But then if I was to tell you, yeah, but this pawn, it belonged to Bobby Fischer. And see, this was one of the pawns he used during this game where he had this victory. Suddenly there would be this astoundment over this thing going, really? That's amazing. There'd be great value in it. The value is not because it's a pawn. You could buy any old chessboard and find one. Instantly, the value that is placed in it is because of the one who wielded it and the one who used it. Same thing could go if I could speak of a pen and show you a pen. You go, that's great. It's a fountain pen. I've seen many of those. My dad has some of them. I've used a pen. And if I was to come to you and say, yeah, but see this pen was used by C.S. Lewis as he wrote the drafts of the Chronicles of Narnia, and instantly this seemingly insignificant device is just imbued with just amazing value by the one who wields it. And we were told, as Joseph said, I've done nothing wrong to be in this dungeon. And God says, you're right. but I have used every step of your life to refine you as a sword maker. That the very word of God who says, I'm always with you in the pit, in the prison, I am there. And that he is refining and he is tempering Joseph for the moment that God would use him as he sees fit. Verse 16 says, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream. Now, again, maybe this next part shouldn't make me laugh, but it does. Okay. And there were three baskets on my head. In the uppermost baskets were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. And so Joseph answered, said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are also 3 days. And within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head. See, the last guy said lift up your head. This takes a quick turn. He'll lift off your head from you, hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. So the guy hears the butler getting lifted up and resumes, oh, hey, me too. I had a dream. What does my dream mean? Well, you're going to be decapitated, hung, and birds are going to eat your flesh. And as funny as I find this moment to be, and it's kind of humorous, but not for the guy who's getting the interpretation. The amazing thing about Joseph's character here, it's that Joseph, just as he was so quick to tell the other interpretation, he was also just as quick to tell this. And he doesn't soften it. He doesn't change God's word to make the guy feel any better. But he tells him the truth of what God had revealed to him and the truth of God's word. So many of us, too many times we want to take God's word and just tell the butler side of things and not the baker. See, if we really care for somebody, we'll simply tell them the wages of sin is death. And then we give them that amazing hope, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, seeing Joseph's consistent character, it's not in there. And I want to be silent with scripture is silent. I don't want to read into this. But I can imagine for a moment if that baker just sinks, completely wrecked by this message. Does Joseph tell him, but you know what? Life doesn't end here. Pharaoh might be the king of this land, but there is a king of kings and a lord of lords. And if you place your faith in him, if you know him as I know him, see, we're looking for a city whose maker isn't here on earth, whose foundations are in heaven, and you can know him. That we bring to people the fullness of grace and truth as we see Joseph do here. It says, now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted. And so here we see it happened. Joseph received their dreams. He heard them. He interpreted them. And he told them, you're going to know it to be true. And when you get there, hey, don't forget me. It looks like it's going to break for Joseph after all the mess in his life, his awful brothers, the false allegations, thrown in prison for 11 years. And it's happened. He's interpreted true. God's word is true. The butler is right there. Verse 23 says, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. So the dreams come to pass, just as Joseph told them. Even interesting is that in Egyptian culture, if someone was able to interpret a dream right, it was thought that they were somehow divinely given that gift, that they were actually some way themselves divine. This would have been something very memorable. I mean, even imagine for these two, as the butler's sitting there, wow, 3 days later, I'm getting called back up. Wow, it's happening. It's just like that Hebrew guy said. And the baker, he's watching the baker get, wow, it's just like the Hebrew guy said. And then somehow, by divine amnesia maybe, he completely forgets. Forgets the one who interpreted the dream to be true. And we're going to see that Joseph will spend two more years in prison. we can ask ourselves, come on, God, what's the deal? Is this guy going to catch a break? Maybe yourself, you're asking yourself something that day. Maybe you have a life and it feels like just like Joseph's. My brothers, my family who's supposed to love me, betray me. They want to kill me and then they just make me into a slave. It's so sad when you really look at human trafficking and just the sadness of just the whole, how many times you find out that it was a family member who sold somebody into that entire just horrible scene. Then he, keeping his focus on God, rises up, second in the house of Potiphar, trusted with everything. Wife wants to have an affair. He says, no, he does the godly thing and he ends up in prison. 11 years waiting. Interprets the dream, not selfish, not hard-hearted, loves on these men. Gives the fullness of grace and truth. And ends up in prison for another 2 years. You know, James says, in chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It is so easy when things break our way to praise God and to thank him for all he's done in our life. And understandably, it's not so easy when we keep feeling betrayed over and over. And yet here's Joseph, whose mind and heart has stayed on God. And a peace that, I mean, we can almost think about that. I mean, I wonder what happened. Okay. It's been 3 days. He's returned there. Everything happened. Joseph, did you hear? Everything happened. Wow, awesome. I told him not to forget me. Day goes by. Okay, he's excited. Let him get back there. A week goes by. Well, there's probably official paperwork that has to happen. A month goes by. He didn't forget me. A year goes by. Yep. I guess this is it. This is where I'll be. And a whole nother year of being forgotten and seemingly by man once again dismissed. Chapter 41 starts and says, then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine looking, fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine looking cows and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them, and the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump heads full. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. So Pharaoh has this, we're in the lesson of dreams, and 2 years later, Pharaoh has this dream about these 7 cannibalistic cows and corn. I don't know if he had a bad hamburger or something, but he's freaking out. And it says, it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret it for them, for Pharaoh. So again, there's something about these dreams that it so freaks him out that he's not just like, whew, that's why you don't eat after 8 p.m. Again, that Japanese word, you'd have to be there. We're having a discussion about that earlier. But he's not just going, I ate something bad. There's something there that Pharaoh goes, there's something about these dreams. It has to mean something. And he's looking for answers. Looking to all the wisdom of the world. Can't find anything. Can't find the peace of knowing the truth. Because that only comes from God. That's why Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7 tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And again, as we read earlier, Isaiah 26, 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh saying, I remember my faults this day. The cupbearer, he's sitting there, he's going, man, poor Pharaoh. That dream just keeping him. He can't sleep well. He looks just awful. I mean, I remember I had this dream a couple years ago and I looked awful. And this Hebrew, oh snap, the Hebrew boy. Whoops. So it says he goes to Pharaoh, verse 10, and when Pharaoh was angry with his servants, he put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each had a dream in one night, he and I, and each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, and a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us, and each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass just as he interpreted for us. So it happened. You restored me to my office. And he, I like how he third persons as if not to put the blame on Pharaoh, and he hanged him. So again, after some divine amnesia, the butler goes, oh man, Pharaoh, I'm sorry you're going through this, and I know what it's like, but I know a guy. He's in the captain of the guard's prison. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothes, and came to Pharaoh. So they give him Joseph the Egyptian makeover. I mean, he's been in prison for after so long. And if you guys like those makeover shows, I'll say it. I like watching how people make different outfits and things, and they can do this pretty interesting stuff. You'll see sometimes they'll do these things where they'll say, hey, look at this you know, barber or somebody who takes someone who's been living on the street and they make him up. And you're like, wow, amazing. So that's what happens. They pull Joseph from out of the prison and they give him the old Egyptian makeup eyeliner whatnot, and here he is before Joseph. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream, and there was no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said that you can interpret and understand a dream, to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. All this time, thrown in a pit, listening to your brothers plot your murder. They sell you into slavery. Do everything you can to be positive and good and trust God, and you raise up to second in the house of Potiphar. Love your master, respect him, respect God, follow his ways. Charged with attempt of rape falsely and thrown in prison. Left in prison for 13 years, and the leader of the world says, I've heard you can do something amazing. I can't have all moments to stand up in pride and puffed up and to say, yeah, I can. I'm going to finally be recognized after all this time. I had this dream all these years ago. My brothers hated me for it. Now here I am and I get to interpret a dream. That's right, I can't. He doesn't go there. No. In a moment where all attention from the leader of the world to everyone around is on Joseph at this moment, he so lets his light shine that all who see may worship our Father in heaven. And he points him back and says, I can see, Pharaoh, that you're exhausted. You're not sleeping well. You're searching for peace. That's not going to come from me. It's going to come from God. You need to know this God that I know. So Pharaoh tells Joseph the zombie cannibal cow corn dream. And for the sake of time, we'll jump down to verse 25. It says, then Joseph said to Pharaoh, again, very quick, he hears the dreams and just goes right at it. The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Again, imagine this. Here's Pharaoh. He's stressed out. I know they mean something. Joseph, I hear you can do this. It's not me. It's God. In the moment of all his stress, what does Joseph want to remind him? I want you to know God is speaking to you. To those in unfair circumstances like Joseph, who find themselves with no rest, who find themselves just tormented in life right now, I would want you to hear the same things that Joseph is telling Pharaoh. Know that God is speaking to you. And he says to him, this isn't one of your many gods. This isn't some bug or river. No, this is the God of gods. This is the creator of the universe. He sees you and he's speaking to you. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one, and the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after are 7 years, and seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following it, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. See, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he doesn't change. And so just as God says, a fact is established by two witnesses, here God gives two dreams to establish a fact. And I wonder, again, just for a moment, as the words are coming out of Joseph's mouth, if he thinks back to the two dreams that he was given. The two dreams that were given, and that shortly it came to pass that God enacted. As we read the two dreams and then the process by which God would take Joseph and send him ahead of this famine and temper him as one who works a katana, use him as a pawn like a great chess master who's getting ready for a victory, to write with a pen a story that just crosses the ages. I wonder if as he says those words, it was established a fact by these two dreams, if he thinks back to his. He says, now let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh. And let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land may not perish during the famine. And this is bold. This is bold. He goes beyond just interpreting the dreams. He's now using wisdom that God has given him to tell Pharaoh how to manage the whole situation. And we ask ourselves, where did Joseph gain the experience to wisely manage a situation like this? As a slave in Potiphar's house, as a lead in the captain of the guard's prison. Again, as God went before, sending before, as I would want everyone again here to know, as you're going through whatever circumstances you're going through right now, this whole time of isolation, we could be asking ourselves why and allow ourselves to become hard-hearted, to become self-focused. I haven't been able to do what I want. I haven't been able to go and do this or that. And not in a lack of empathy to say, get your mind off yourself, but to see one like Joseph who didn't dismiss someone's pain, but was able through pain to completely empathize and say, God has a message of grace and truth for you. And by keeping his mind focused and his heart fixed on Christ, on God, he had that peace that passed all understanding. It didn't change the circumstance. Unfairness after unfairness after unfairness, all of it a tempering for the moment that God used him to change the course of history. And again, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he will do the same for you. So whatever circumstance you're going through, don't allow it to turn yourself inward and self-focused. Allow it to just temper you as God says that he himself will be the one to test you and to refine you to reflect his light. And to know, again, maybe you're someone like Pharaoh that if your sleep eludes you, you just can't find peace. That you would hear the words of Joseph to Pharaoh and know to know God to know peace, that he can, will speak to you because he is. He says he stands at the door and knocks, and whoever would open that door, he will come in, have a meal with him, spend time with him. Give us that peace that he gives, not as the world gives, but that peace from the very Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. And God, I pray that whatever is going on in the lives of my brothers and sisters right now, to anyone who is hearing this message, God, that we would not allow the unfair circumstances of our lives to make us hardened, bitter, and angry, but to have our hearts and minds fixed on you, God, that we would trust you, knowing that your ways are good. Father, we just pray right now that we would, again, put our lives in your hands. God, that we could walk this walk as Joseph has. Father, that you would make us into the effective instruments of your love as you so plan to use. In your son's name, amen.
The Cover to Cover series is part of No Mere Mortal. The No Mere Mortal ethos derives from the biblically grounded and inspired work of C.S. Lewis in The Weight of Glory. You can find more No Mere Mortal content, including the Cover to Cover series, on our website at nomeremortal.org. Follow us on Twitter, Truth, Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, and most major podcasting services. Subscribe, follow, like, comment, leave a review, and share. The music you've heard has been provided by Sicko, that's C-I-K-K-0, and you can find him at YouTube at Sicko's Beat Suck 797. My name is Bryce, and you are No Mere Mortal.